Well, hey there. This is Debs, the Horoscope Lady, and I want to know, do you know where your planets are? Today is March 21st, 2007. It's the first day of spring, but you know what? If you could see it in the sky, the sun is still in Pisces. Yes, it is. It's at 646, the seventh degree of Pisces, and that's because of something called the precession of the equinoxes. This is a sidereal astrology show, and we see the planets, we see the stars, against the stars, where they actually are. We do not go by the seasons. If you are a tropical astrologer, be prepared to hear something new and find out stuff about yourself. We have a guest today, but we're going to ask you to call in after that and find out where your planets really are and what that really means and why should you care. Let's see. Today's guest is Michelle Northrup. She is an executive with Cardinal Healthcare System, and she's my guest for a couple reasons. One, because she used to have to be a tropical Aries, and quite a few other things we'll be talking about. And then she was one of the first people that I experimented on when I was thinking about switching from tropical to actually Vedic at one point, but sidereal. And everything switched for her, and she participated in a two-year test to see, you know, what happens, what, when, does it move, you know, what was right, not just what, you know, things kind of sounded right. Michelle is also a student of the Kabbalah, so she'll be fun to talk to. Michelle, are you there?
I am.
Oh, good. Oh, good.
Well, I'm excited to be here, Deb, I can tell you.
Oh, well, thanks so much. I appreciate you doing this. I really do, because I think one of the hardest things when this is presented to them, sidereal astrology, you know, everybody's invested, they've got their keychains, they've got their cups, people have given them cards over the years, and who wants to hear after they've been doing something a certain way for years and years and years and years and years, all of a sudden now they're different or it's different. How, when I first approached you, if you can remember back that long, because I've been doing this for a while now, when I first approached you and said, hey, Michelle, maybe you're not a 16-degree Aries, maybe you're a 23-degree Pisces, how did that sound?
A little crazy, in all honesty. Because you figure, you know, I mean, you know, Aries is the starting of a zodiac, you know, and Pisces is, of course, like the completion of the zodiac. So you're really at a very different kind of stage, if you understand a little bit about astrology. But the other piece is they are so dramatically different. At least in the way that I think about an Aries being kind of, you know, selfish and kind of, you know, pushes himself out in the world and good at starting things but not completing things. And, you know, for me, Pisces is such a different way of coming into the world and operating in the world. You know, it's much more compassionate and much more like a feeler type if we think about the Myers-Briggs. You know, and so the challenges that an Aries presented with are not the same as what a Pisces would be. So, yeah, it's very different.
Very, very different. And the other thing that changed dramatically for you was your rising sign. Now, for those who don't know, your rising sign is the part that's coming up on the eastern horizon when you're born. And again, you know, what Michelle said, they're dramatically different because when you go move back one sign, it does change dramatically. Aries is a masculine fire cardinal sign. You know, like Michelle was saying, it's like you get out there and you start stuff, you do stuff. It's out in the world. Where Pisces is a feminine water mutable sign, happy to change things, metamorphose things, but, you know, take things the way that they used to be and change them into something else. Your rising sign went from Sagittarius, which cracked me up. Why would I have ever thought you were Sagittarius rising? What I thought, you know, when everybody switched over, to a Scorpio rising, which makes so much more sense for a Jungian type, you know, someone who studies Jungian astrology and, well, not astrology, Jungian psychology and, you know, the Kabbalion too, for that matter. So, or the Kabbalah, Kabbalion, something different. What, can you remember, what was it, because how I set this experiment up was I did people's transits, very short-term transits, and said, and I threw on some red herrings, and I said, just follow this along and see what changed for them, when it changed. Because I don't think the personality type, you know, I'm not sure people are willing to grab on personality first. They like the events. And again, tell me, you know, what was it that you changed over with? Because I don't even think you can think of yourself.
Well,
as
you know what I
anymore.
Remember. Yeah, I think what I remember when we did the experiment was, you know, you would say, okay, you know, did, you know, with, let's say it was March 21st of, you know, 2002, and there's a Mars transit, you know, did it feel this way or did it feel this way? When did you feel it? And we compared notes that way. And, you know, each and every time it kept coming down on the sidereal side. That was much more descriptive and correct as to, you know, what was going on in my life or, you know, how I felt about it. So, you know, I think that's the piece that convinced me, and I don't want to jump ahead, you know, it's your interview. But,
go ahead and jump to wherever, because I think this is an important process for people to hear. I did this with 15 different people, and not all of you lasted the 2 years. But every single person did say, you know, the other one makes sense. But, and again, it's interesting for me to hear it again all these years later as to, you know, what happened, where in their minds did they change. So, no, please, skip ahead.
Well, and actually, doesn't that say a little something about the fact that, you know, an Aries probably would have been long done and gone and you know, not been concerned with this anymore. So
that,
here I am.
That, you know what? And
I'm still highly engaged. So.
Well, that, you know what? And that's true. Most of the people that dropped out were fire signs. It's like, okay, we got it. You don't have to do the experiment anymore. We got it. We'll be sidereal. We got all the fire signs. They're ready to go on to something else. You know?
Exactly. But, no, I think the thing, and you know, you may not remember this, but I really do. At the time, I was dating someone. It had been a long-term relationship. We'd been together, like, 6 years. I was graduating from college, and we were going to get married after that. And I had asked you to pick a wedding date for me. And, you know, we lost touch. I had a lot of things happen in my life, you know, about 2 months long. And when we finally connected, and you gave me my chart, and you said, well, you know, I see this male loss, but it doesn't make any sense to me. I know that you're coming together with this person. We've picked a date for you, you know, unless it involves your father or your son. And I'm like, Deb, you're not going to believe it, but Ed moved out and the marriage is off. And you had no way to know that. But your timing was that week, that very week. I mean, you can't predict stuff like that. You know, you did, obviously, but in other words, you would have had no other way of knowing that. And tropically, I don't think it would have identified it as closely as you did, because I just kind of looked at you funny. And
I'm pretty sure
you do remember this.
I do, as you're talking about it, because, and that's the thing. Tropically, you can't get it. You cannot get it like that. Or if you get it, it's the time period is much wider. It wouldn't be a week. It would be 6 months or something.
Right. And like I said, it was that week. You know, and so it was just like, wow. And there's numerous examples. That's probably the most dramatic one. Because like I said, you had, you know, we hadn't been in touch, and you really didn't know what was happening in my life and where we left off. You know, it was that we were planning it one way. And it did a sharp right turn, and it all worked out quite well, thank you very much, but, you know.
Yes, it did.
It's one of those things where, you know, when people ask me why I get my transits done, you know, and, you know, why, you know, I mean, I do astrology part-time, but you're a professional, and it's because I think that, to me, the way I described it to a friend, it's like, he's like, oh, I don't know that I really want to know, and I'm like, would you drive your car into a pothole if you could see it up ahead in the roadway? And he's like, well, of course not. And I'm like, well, to me, that's how I use my transits. Being aware of where I have good strong periods to be able to use energetically for work or for personal, you know, pursuits, where are the times when I should be sitting back and really thinking and taking it as creative time? In other words, it's working with my own, you know, natural astrological energies out here to really maximize what I can do and not to overextend myself. And I think that it works very well for me that way. You know, I really
that
do want
to know. Yeah, you did touch on just barely there what I wanted to ask. And one of the things I introduced you the way I did was because, you know, you're right there. You're corporate America, girl. You know, white pearl necklace, you know, pumps, that you are corporate America. How You're thinking, don't remind me. I obviously know I've got a lot of corporate clients, but I think when most people think of people that use astrology, and I also want you to share some about the Kabbalah about you, because I know it's a passion of yours, and I know it represents that Saturn North Node and Ascendant in Scorpio in the first house so well. What do your friends say? What do you just gave a little bit of that, but how well received is that? Why you with your work, or do you just hide it from them?
No, I don't. I mean, I don't push it on people either. I'm not one that believes in proselytizing. I feel like if you live your life, you know, your example, you know, speaks loudly enough. But certainly when the technology starts to break down or a website goes down or something, I'm like, it's Mercury retrograde. What else would you expect? You know, this will pass. This too shall pass. You know, well, let's kind of try to take things in stride. But I think the other thing is people know that in some ways I'm different. And, you know, my cutesy tagline sometimes is bringing consciousness to corporate America. It's not that people don't dabble in this stuff or, you know, have a psychological life, a heartfelt life, you know, something that has some greater depth. They're not all greedy whatevers, you know. And they are interested in the fact that, you know, there's something different here. I do a great deal of mentoring, and it's not that I go, you know, put a card out and say, hey, I want to mentor you. People naturally come to me. And I think that, you know, it's my whole philosophy, but astrology is a big piece of that, as to why they feel like I have something that can assist them in their life path. Because a lot of it, as we're talking about, is their journey. I mean, my current role as a marketer, you know, is highly creative. And this is where I think this stuff gets really fun, you know, because you can bring to bear, you know, the timing of things. You know, business appointments, when you want to spend time really, you know, probing someone to find out what the market needs, what are their needs, try to bring real solutions, which is what's important to me. You know, it's that whole service aspect that I think Pisces does highlight. You know, I can time it, and I can use this to my advantage. So it really gives me, to me, an edge.
I'm glad it does. I'm glad it does. I do want to talk, I said, I want to hear about the Kabbalah. Let's do that first, because we got started a little bit late, so I don't know how early you have to go. But after that, I want to get back to, you're talking about like with Mars and with things moving, because Mars is going to move in a week. And so I want people to start hearing it now and start looking at their own lives now to see the areas they're going to move in. So please, let's talk about the Kabbalah first and how that, you know, how that's utilized. And then let's go back to this Mars transit.
Okay. Well, I think there's a really nice connection between the Kabbalah and different systems of thought in the occult world and in the psychological world. Basically, in the Kabbalah, I've studied the Lurianic tradition, which is it's Judaic, but at the same time, it's been lifted into the Western Christian mystery tradition. So it's in there in our esoteric Christian, you know, literature. And there's 10 Sephiroth or emanations of God. And basically these represent different faces or aspects of God, and they all have planets assigned to them. So, you know, as I'm learning, you know, I learned astrology first. I actually started learning astrology back when I was like 14, 15 years old. You know, understanding that Binah has Saturn energy helps me understand a little bit more about the significance and the esoteric meaning of that. Okay, so it's a nice map. But what I discovered the other day is I was in a Jungian talk, and he was talking about a new ethic, and he's talking about the fact that you can't make a single prescription for, you know, the way a person should necessarily act, because the very opposite reaction might be the appropriate one. And the Kabbalah really calls that out because it deals with opposites, or what we call polarities. So you may have Gevura on one side, which has a lot of Mars energy. It's a red center. It's about severity, judgment, you know, having to draw the line, draw the sword. And on the opposite of that is mercy or compassion. And forgive me, I can't remember what the astrological sign associated with it is right this minute. But it's that
Jupiter.
Spectrum. Thank you. It's that spectrum that moves back and forth as to what does the situation really call for. And the best example that my teacher offered on something like that is you would not be merciful to cancer cells in your body. That is when you want to be aggressive. You want to be severe. You want to eradicate them. If you are too compassionate and merciful in that situation, they'll just overtake the body and you'll be dead. So trying to spell out, you know, that there is a point in time for justice, you know, and for, you know, I'm going to say a more harsh response versus the time when you want to open up your heart and, you know, really accept someone or, you know, like in my recent fire situation, you know, where I received so many blessings from the people around me to help me through a difficult time, whether it was money or a place to stay or, you know, clothes. I mean, whatever I needed was given, you know.
Yeah, the listeners don't realize, Michelle, right before Christmas, her home burnt down. And that was, yeah, that was a big one. That was a big life changer.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. But, you know, it's nice that, you know, early on you could see there were blessings in that. It would have been nicer to have them other ways. You got them. Like, gee, you could. But I guess that's when people do respond.
Well, and you know that, you know, the messages that I received, you know, astrologically, you know, is that this is something that, you know, it happened. You know, I think we said, wasn't it Uranus squaring my ascendant?
Yep.
You know, it's change. It's big change. So you don't know how it might manifest, you know, but you know that the energy is there. But at the same time, that really and truly, this is a really positive year for me, filled with a lot of opportunities. So that's given me something positive to hang on to, Deb. So,
well, good.
Another
and,
way that
for those
for me.
Yeah, for those who are listening who might have Uranus squaring their ascendant, you need more than that to have your house burned down. So I don't want everyone to think, oh, yeah. But
yeah,
it wouldn't be a bad idea to have good insurance.
Anybody out there, you know.
Absolutely anybody. You had other things happening, and will continue to happen. Then now is probably a nice way to segue back into, or nice time. Mars is in Capricorn right now, transiting through Capricorn. Sitting on your moon right today, actually. And in a week, it's going to move into sidereal Aquarius, which means the constellation Aquarius. You will go out and be able to see it in the sky right before the sun comes up, a couple hours before the sun comes up, about two and a half hours before the sun rises. You will be able to see Mars going through the constellation of Aquarius. And everybody, and this is March 30th, and what I'm challenging, I guess, everyone to do out there is just to notice where your energy shifts. Because that, and, you know, Michelle, please talk about that again, that, you know, that's what you notice. It's like, boom, right there on that week or that day or something, the energy shift. And I do want to give people two other big dates that's happening this year, and then I'll let you go back to, you know, mentioning that. Saturn is going to be coming out of Cancer and going into Leo July 15th this year. Big shift for people. That's a two-year shift, which has to do with the foundations of your life, what you're looking at, what you're doing. And Jupiter will be shifting from Scorpio to Sagittarius on November 21st. So we've got a ways for that one. So that's where you're expanding in your life. And you don't have to be an astrologer, you know, to get all this. Some of these people are saying, why, what, you know, they're writing these dates down. But that's what I want you to do. Write the dates down and just see where the area shifts. Michelle,
yeah,
like I said,
did.
I know we, yeah, you just did. You cracked me up. Okay. I do want to talk about where Saturn is in your chart right now, because that's one of the things that if anyone's born who has a sidereal Scorpio rising, now if you're thinking about tropical, that's not going to play out the same. So if you have a sidereal Scorpio rising, Saturn right now is in your ninth house, and then in the summer it's going to go to your 10th house. And for the last 7 years, it's been rise, what we say astrology-wise, it's rising in your chart. So your career would have been rising. Michelle, can you just say briefly, like with the timing of this, because I've watched you of course, you know, go from one thing and maybe go to, you know, bounce around and do different things and move through the different levels. When Saturn gets back to that 10th house of yours and all eyes are on you for 2 years, what's the best thing to be doing with it? What have you been doing with it?
Well, I think number one, a recognition that, you know, you can use these energies, that this is the time if you're trying to make things happen, you know, whether it's personally because you want, you know, new challenges and responsibilities, to use it that way. Or if you're in a role, you know, to be able to say, okay, I should now have the attention of people. I can get some real things done. Because, again, in marketing, it's about making things manifest. And so having, you know, that opportunity where people are looking for that, you're able to deliver it, you're able to generate some excitement around it, you can make things happen a lot faster. It's hard in a corporate structure where, you know, layers of people make decisions and funding has to be, you know, allocated, et cetera. So, I think use it. I think the other piece is to be aware that you are in the spotlight and that everybody is watching. So I won't use your typical, example of that, but
yes.
Don't start doing
something
you don't want the world to know about, you know, because it's all out there. You know, you really at that point don't have a lot of secrets and you don't have a persona to hide behind as easily. Does that make sense?
No. Yeah, absolutely makes sense. I think it does to our listeners also. The other thing that's happening with Jupiter going into your second house, you'll be making more money, which is nice. So it looks like, you know, people have sidereal Scorpio rising, unless you guys just sit at home and decide not to participate in the world, because that's another big piece of it. And, you know, Michelle, I know you know that. You know, you can have, you know, it's like the best cards in the deck, but unless you're willing to play that hand, unless you're willing to actually do something with it, you sit and do nothing, and nothing happens to
you. You know, and it's funny because you just jogged my memory. Way back when I was working in hospitals, at a time when, you know, managed care had come into healthcare, there was a lot of downsizing, people were losing their jobs. You told me way back when, and this is probably 15 years ago, to think big, that, you know, I kind of split between introvert and extrovert, especially, you know, with the Pisces piece. And, you know, the deep thought piece when it comes to some of the Scorpio energies. And so my tendency wouldn't be to necessarily push myself out there the same way as some of the other signs I think could, that I think are more naturally extroverted. But bottom line was, you said, think big, you know, be able to see the big picture. And, of course, if I'd had a Sagittarius rising, that you wouldn't have had to tell me that, probably.
You'd have been galloping away.
Then I can convince the world. But, you know, you said, you know, think big. And so in working with, you know, they were moving my job around. There was no sense of whether, you know, my job would continue to exist. Well, I ended up in a different department with a $5,000 raise, you know, much higher status in the organization at a time when everybody else was getting cut. So, you know, being able to, you know, listen to your counsel based on, you know, those energies and how I needed to project myself, I really, you know, I mean, I looked around and went, wow, you know, again, this stuff really does make a difference. So sometimes it's about having the confidence to get yourself out there in the world where, in a way that people will really hear you. They will really see and notice and reward you for that.
Yes. Yes, I like that reward part. That's fun. Is there anything else? Like I said, I know we got started late, and I know, you know, you've got your schedule to keep on. Is there anything else that you would like to say to people, you know, about, you know, give them your best plug, your best introverted Pisces, Scorpio, Moon and Capricorn in the third house plug to say, try this system out? Because that's tough. People, you know, and I know I come off like that sometimes. They did a spoof on me on Radio KOL once where it was some rain or something. I couldn't be in there. So a couple of the interns went in and pretended to be me. You know, they did a spoof of me.
Oh, that was
And so it was funny. Anyway, but this you know, it was good for me to, like, see it on air afterwards, because people would call in and say, okay, I'm a Virgo. No, you're not. You know, first thing I thought, no, you're not. And I thought, oh, my goodness, do I really sound like that? Because no one wants to be told that they're wrong, but I don't know what the bait to use all the time to say, you know, try this. It's so much better. I feel like Sam I Am in Green Eggs and Ham.
Yeah.
Do you remember reading that to Jason? You know, it's her son.
Yeah.
And you'll be reading it to your grandson, you know. It's like, just try them. Try them, you know. Try them on a plate. Try them in a box, you know, the rest of that.
I think, you know, for me, and this speaks to my personality, but, you know, giving people something similar to the way we conducted that experiment. In other words, you know, does it feel like this? Does it feel like this? You know, where they can go through it themselves, because that's what gave me the sense of conviction that this was a truer astrology. The fact that, you know, your predictive capability is absolutely remarkable with sidereal. It's much tighter. I mean, I've done both systems. Again, I've done this for, you know, off and on and dabbled for 35 years. This is much more precise. As you know, I treat one of my friends to a chart for Christmas or his birthday every year. And
yes, you do.
You know, he is always amazed that he's like, how does she do it? How does she do it? Because he may not receive it for a couple of weeks after it's been generated, and that stuff's already come to fruition, and he can see it for himself. That's how I think he's become convinced. It's almost as a retrospective look. But I think it's asking probing questions because, again, you know, an Aries with a Sag rising is very different than a Pisces with a Scorpio rising, okay? And being able,
oh, yeah,
you know, because when you read the things in the books and whatnot, it's almost like getting medical students' disease. You know, you can see yourself in all those places because some element you might be able to identify with. But overall, how do you live your life? And being able to maybe ask some behavioral questions, you know, or how they make decisions, or, you know, would you do this or this, might be able to help them flesh out what feels actually more true to their personality and, you know, the way, like I said, they look at life. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does, and thank you so much. Michelle, as always, a pleasure. Looking forward to seeing you over the holiday weekend when you're down here next time. And please keep on making corporate America a little bit better and brighter because you're part of it.
Well, thank you, dear. And thanks for having me on the show. I just
okay,
really believe
bye
in
now.
This stuff. So, bye-bye.
Bye. All right. That was Michelle Northrup. And as you may have guessed, you didn't have to guess. We've known each other for quite a long time. She was one of the people that when I switched from tropical to sidereal was in a two-year experiment, doing tests, you know, literally it was every month. No wonder everyone didn't stick through it because every single month I had these questions and I asked them and, you know, what was this, what was that, and they had to follow along, God love them. So, and I do appreciate every single person that did that. For the future, if anyone, she was mentioning, you know, if people can test this out, what you can do, you can go to mybirthchart.com, that's mybirthchart.com, and get a free sidereal chart just sent to you, so you can look at that. That's free. Or you can take the Zodiac Challenge, which only costs $7.50, and that's not a timing thing. That's a personality thing. The Zodiac Challenge is personality, what's your personality in tropical, what's your personality in sidereal. But if you get your free sidereal chart, I will let you know on this show where the planets are moving, so you can get a sense of what's right and, you know, what feels good and what's there. Okay, I had two emails this week. I'm going to hold off for a few minutes on those, not only give some of you, the people that emailed me a chance to call in. That number to call in is right there on your radio. And, oops, sorry, Don, I don't have it in front of me, and I'm not online right now, so I can't see it, but it is certainly free to call in the BBS network to ask questions. Let me see. I did have a couple of people eyeing me with general questions about some of our more famous people out there, including George Bush. Let's see. George Bush, born, everybody knows when he was born. Okay, July 6, 1946. at 7:26 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time in New Haven, Connecticut. And in the tropical system, oh, yeah, he's supposed to be a Gemini rising. That makes no sense whatsoever. Sidereally, he is a Cancer rising, which makes a great deal more sense. I have questions every week from just from my website and then from the other show I do and then this show about some of them are not very nice questions, but there you go. The fact is he is the President of the United States, and so as his chart goes, we don't want it to be too rough because that's how the United States goes. But Saturn is in Cancer and has been. I've mentioned that a couple times. It's going to be there till July 15th. It'll go into Leo. It's in his first house, so anyone who has Cancer rising is having not only a great deal of more responsibility than usual and having it tougher than usual, but are having to constantly answer questions they'd rather not answer or have to deal with things they'd rather not deal with. So as far as those prosecutors being fired and Will, Barbara Myers and Harriet Myers, I'm sorry, and Karl Rove be called to office. I don't have their charts. That was not called to office, called to subpoena to speak in front of the Congress. I think they're going to have to. I think the White House firings are just attorney firings, I'm sorry, it's going to really play hard on them. Jupiter is at 25 Scorpio right now. His south node is at 27. Jupiter's getting ready to retrograde, so he's not losing anything yet. But by the time it goes direct and then back through November of 2007, he will certainly lose some people. He'll lose, I'm sure, with elections being held, the smaller ones. He will certainly lose other support that way. So, that's it, famous chart, George Bush. I had somebody else ask me, Hillary Clinton, what are her realistic chances? Not, you know, would people in the United States actually elect a woman? Are we ready to elect a woman in this country? Hillary was born October 26, 1947. She was born at 8:10 p.m. Central Standard Time in Chicago, Illinois. Anyone born that time, I don't think, could get elected anytime soon. And the reason has to do with where transiting Saturn is. Again, when Saturn is transiting below your horizon, below your chart, and those are houses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, and Saturn's transiting below the horizon. And this is going to be a 14 years, and then for 14 years it travels above the horizon. It is, and that's what Michelle was saying, and she had this time period when she was asking me about this, and I said, think big. It's a good planning time. It's a good time to prepare yourself. It is not usually the time to be out and about in the world in a position of responsibility. So Saturn is in her second house. It's going to her third house. Not a great position for somebody wanting to be elected for anything exactly, unless they're doing something in the neighborhood, you know, in the neighborhood where they are. She could easily stay a senator during this time period. Jupiter will be rising in her chart. Seventh house, meeting new people. Eighth house, but again, not strong enough. I like to see ninth and tenth house planets, particularly tenth house Saturns, to get yourself elected for something that high or promoted that high. Because one of it speaks to visibility. You have to be visible. People have got to be able to see you, you know, and if you're going to be president of the United States. Another question came in about Tony Blair and, you know, with the Brits pulling out of Iraq, what does that mean for us? Tony Blair was born May 6, 1953. That's May 6, 1953, 6:10 a.m. British Standard Time in Edinburgh, Scotland. Yeah, that's his chart. Oh, there you go. Okay. Tony Blair is not a Taurus at all. He's got Taurus rising. His sun was actually in 22 degrees of Aries when he was born, and that's anyone born May 6th of any year. The sun was still in Aries. What it looks like Tony's going to be doing, and in a week's time, when Mars moves from Capricorn to Aquarius. Now, this is for anyone who has sidereal Taurus rising. They are going to be in the limelight for 6 weeks. They are going to be very much out in the public. So we're going to be hearing a lot about Tony Blair and what he's doing. His press will be covering him even more than usual. World press will be covering him. And he'll be out talking and saying and doing things. And I think within that first week of April, because Mars will be coming up to his part of Fortune, he's going to come out as a real hero to his people. They're really going to, you know, he is standing strong. They're feeling really good about that. However, unless something's happening to number 10 Downing Street, Tony will be changing residences. He's be changing homes this summer. After July 15th, 2007, he is going to be changing homes. So unless they're doing something to number 10 Downing Street, he may very well get voted out of, you know, being prime minister over there. Their system's different than ours. They can call for a general election at any time. I would definitely call. We'll see what they do. If I was him, I would call for a general election sometime in the next 6 weeks to kind of secure your place. But he's going to be changing residences, certainly buying a new home after July 15th. And I've got one more. Somebody had asked about Britney Spears, God bless her little heart. And what did I think about, well, they wanted to know what I thought about stars in general and in and out of rehab and whatnot. And I think, but let me just say in general, with most people that are famous, you know, what we consider famous in this society, I have a lot of entertainers that are clients of mine, and it is not an easy life. And, you know, I'm not saying, oh, boo-hoo, you have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning to have makeup put on so you can go out and make $13 million. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying, and it's just a reasonable amount of common sense, to forever be in the limelight. Very few of them get to step out of that and just, like, be folks. You know, just be somebody's parent and go to a PTA. Just be, you know, go to the grocery store. Just hang with people just because they actually like you. It's kind of an odd thing. And then in our society, the industry is so tough. You know, as soon as you reach a certain age, you know, it's like, okay, let's walk away and look at somebody else. I tend to be very compassionate towards your average actor or singer or musician. All right, Britney Spears, born December 2nd, 1981. I think most people say she was born in Louisiana. She was raised in Louisiana, but she was actually born in Mahone, Mississippi at 1:30 a.m. The sun was at 16 degrees of Scorpio, which makes so much more sense than having her being a Sagittarius. Again, December 2nd, 1981. I think after the next week when Mars shifts signs, and she has Virgo rising, so any of you have Virgo rising out there, when Mars moves into Aquarius in a week from now, and it'll be there for 6 weeks, you're going to get a chance to do something about your health, certainly, but you're also going to get a chance to do something about your work day and get the work day exactly the way you want it. And that's, you know, I love when that happens. You know, a lot of astrologers, it's going through the sixth house, so what? Well, I kind of like, you know, having time to look at my office and look at my schedule and see how to get the most out of it so I can also have some me time. You know, that's my whole work day, from the time I get up, from the time I go to sleep. So that's nice. I don't know if she's going to be switching record companies or, you know, just switching where she, you know, does her work, where she practices, her band, whatever. But she'll have 6 weeks to get her work schedule kind of in the order, and I hope she uses that the way she wants it. As far as the rehab question, you know, that's personal. It's like, you know, God love her. I hope she does, you know, clean herself up. She's just a kid, for heaven's sakes. When Saturn right now is in her 11th house, when Saturn is in your 11th house after it's in your 10th, now this is transiting Saturn, and this is for everybody. If Saturn is transiting your 11th house, and if you have Virgo rising, that's where it is right now. And again, this is sidereal Virgo rising. What you get is you get rewarded, good or bad, for your past behavior. So if you have not behaved well, this is when a lot of people, you know, they get caught doing something they shouldn't do in the 10th house, and they go to jail when Saturn's in the 11th house. Or, you know, on the other side, you do really good stuff when Saturn's in the 10th house. You get your big bonuses, big rewards, the big corner office when Saturn's in the 11th house. You see your plans come to fruition, and that in itself gives you a great deal of satisfaction. Brittany's having other things, kind of things happening. When Saturn transits and goes into her 12th house, and it'll be there for 2 years, Saturn will be in Leo for 2 years after July 15th, what she's going to have is, yeah, it could be operations, it could be medical care, it could be psychological counseling. And, you know, if you do that, you can change your life around. You can, you know, figure out, you know, who you are and why you are and why you're here and, you know, go on from there. Jupiter will be moving into her fourth house after Thanksgiving, and she will be, you know, moving residences. So there you go with that. Let me see. Okay, famous people. That's all the famous people were asking me about this week. Let me do the two emails that people had emailed to ask about. The first one, they're youngsters here. First one was born May 16th, 1992, a youngster, 2 p.m. and Laguna Beach, California, and they're kind of wondering, you can tell spring is in the air, they're kind of wondering about true love, career, and friends. So, first of all, anyone born May 16th, 1992, the sun had got to Taurus. It was in 2 degrees of Taurus. Oh, yeah, okay. Actually, the last 2 weeks, oh, goodness, I almost wish I had gotten this last week. Last 2 weeks, just because you only have so much time with it, today and tomorrow, maybe through Friday, you can convince anyone in authority that your idea is good or that you're ready for it, you have enough responsibility for it, and, you know, go from there. I think this is a great time right now. Mars is transiting your sixth house. It's in Capricorn. Your sixth house, whole house is Capricorn. So anyone with Leo rising, sidereal Leo rising, what you should be doing is getting your work day exactly the way you want it right now. And, you know, again, looking at your health, looking at your diet, and by that I don't mean you have to lose 5 pounds. I mean, are you drinking enough water? Are you getting, you know, your 5 fruits and vegetables in you a day? You know, are you having exercise? You know, that kind of stuff. Good stuff. Good stuff is good for you. As far as true love, oh, Lord have mercy, child. All right, starting November 21st, when Jupiter switch houses, Jupiter will be in the constellation Sagittarius for 13 months. And so if you have Leo rising, you're going to have 13 months, not only that it's very creative, but there should be some romance involved. Is that a true love? I don't know. 1992. I'm trying to do math really quick here. 10. Yeah, it's true enough. I think you'll have a wonderful time dating and going out with people. But you know what? Don't be so – never, ever, ever, ever be so, you know, hungry that you're willing – see, and I never try to ever get this hungry that I'm willing to eat inferior food, and I am a sun in Taurus. I always want to eat a certain quality of food. I like my organic food. I like my fresh, organic, free-range eggs. I like my wild-caught seafood. That's it. I like my fresh vegetables. And I never want to get so hungry that I'm willing to eat something out of a can that I normally wouldn't look at. So same thing. It's like, you know, keep yourself busy with things that you like to do, surrounded by friends and fun things and things that fill your soul. And then when people come into your life, you know, you'll choose better. You'll choose people that it makes more sense, okay? You'll have plenty of people. Matter of fact, your parents are going to think you have too many people. Okay, let's do Lissa. Okay, Lissa is in the outer wheel. Lissa was born September 4th, 1991, and she wants to know about love and school. Yes, like I said, spring is in the air. Lissa was born September 4th, 1991. When she was born, the sun was in 17 degrees of Leo. And Well, this has been an exciting year for school for you because starting in October, you started meeting a whole lot of new people, interesting people, getting chances to do new, just new things, new clubs, new organizations, new hobbies, new classes. This Lissa is a Taurus, sidereal Taurus rising. So anyone has sidereal Taurus rising, this is what you've been going through. And you're going to continue doing this through Thanksgiving this year and just have a good time with it. Have a good time meeting all these people. It's interesting. You would ask about love because you have all these people coming into your life. So maybe it's the same thing as the other young lady before. It. I don't want to be spouting, you know, from movies, but like Love Actually. Love is really all around us. It's there. You have to love yourself first, and you have to love your life first to, you know, get some quality people in there. I would say to anyone who has sidereal Taurus rising, including Lisa, that when Mars moves in 1 week, right now it's in your ninth house, so it's like 5 weeks of doing things that have either you're being educated a lot or you're teaching or you're taking tests that are important to you. Of course, at your age you are, but for everyone else you're doing that. Maybe a lot of traveling. And a week when it moves into your 10th house in Aquarius, it'll be there for 6 weeks, that you should know that everyone is watching you. So, you know, when you leave the house, you know, your hair is combed, your teeth are brushed, your clothes are on straight, and, you know, your shoulders are back because everybody's going to see you and see what you're doing. And you want to be rewarded the 6 weeks after that for what you do in the following, you know, the previous 6 weeks. So in a week's time, if you have oral reports to give or projects to turn in or papers to submit for whatever school you want to go to after that, you know, that's the time to do it. And people will be watching you. So know that. Stand up a little straighter. You know, take time to speak. So, you know, choose your words so they hear who you really are and see who you really are. That's, but love comes, you know, when 3, 6, 9, 12, you should... You know, you've got a lot of friends, you know, and that's a good place to start. Okay, we're almost out of time here. I do want to mention that I will be on the Donna Sebo Show on April 10th. Please listen to me there. She will be interviewing me, and thank you very much, Donna. She'll be interviewing me, and the book that I wrote is Gift Giving by the Stars. You can go to searchbythestars.com and read sample chapters of that. It's the website is searchbythestars.com. The title of the book is Gift Giving by the Stars, and there are sample chapters up there for you to read free. And what else? And that is about it. I just want to remind everyone, if you'd like to get a free sidereal birth chart, please go to mybirthchart.com, and you can get one there. Well, thanks so much. I appreciate you spending time with me again, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye now.